بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، brothers and sisters, when we read the seerah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when we read the history of Islam, the thing that strikes, at least strikes me, is the number of people who gave their lives only for the kalima, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadur rasulullah. Not for land, not for freedom from this or that, not for power, not for money, not for property. Only for the kalima, la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The first shaheed, the first martyr in Islam, as we know, is Sayyida Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha, the mother of Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, followed a short while after by her husband, Yasir radiallahu anhu. And Abu Jahl, who killed both of them, he killed Sayyida Sumayya radiallahu anha by spearing her, and he killed Yasir radiallahu anhu even more horribly, if there is a way of saying that or comparing, by dismembering him, by tying his limbs to horses, four horses, and tearing them apart. You know, even to say this seems like a fantasy. Imagine it happening to somebody. And that does not instantly kill you. It just takes away your arms and legs. The body is still there, you are alive. And we don't know how long it takes to die. And all that they had to do to escape that was to say, we leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As a matter of fact, his son, Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, did that. He saw this happening in front of his eyes. Abu Jahl continued to torture him, and he said, give up the deen of Muhammad. So he said, I gave it up. Then he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was freed. Abu Jahl said, fine, go. Then he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have done this. I could not bear the pain, I could not bear the suffering, and I said this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, what was in your heart? He said, my heart was La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then there is no problem. So there was a legitimate way out of this. Now I'm not comparing the Sahabi to the Sahabi, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I'm just saying that the same way was also available to his parents. They did not take it. They did not take it. We have Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, the ambassador, the teacher, the emissary, the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who he sent to Medina. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, one of the wealthiest of the Sahaba, young man, maybe 17, maybe 18 years old, very wealthy. His mother loved him. She literally showered wealth on him. He was very fond of beautiful clothes and beautiful perfumes and so on and so forth. They used to say that if Mus'ab ibn Umair went down a road and you went afterwards, you came down, you could smell the perfume. So, you know. And when he accepted Islam, his mother locked him up, tortured him, took away everything he had. And finally, she threw him out of the house. And as he was going, she said, no, no, these clothes you are wearing also belong to me. You cannot go with these clothes. Take the clothes off. And she allowed him to take one sheet of cloth to wrap himself with. Because her thinking was very simple. Here is this boy who is grown up in the lap of luxury. Take away the money, he'll come back to, you know, come back to the, according to her, the right path. Didn't happen. He went with that one sheet of cloth. And Rasulullah sent him to Madina Munawara as his emissary, as his representative. And there among the many, many Sahaba who accepted Islam on his hand was Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. The Sahabi who, when he died, when he was shaheed in the battle of Khandaq, Rasulullah said the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shook for the death of Sa'd bin Mu'adh. He accepted Islam at the hand of Musab ibn Umair, 18-year-old boy. And Usayd bin Hudayr, radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest of the Qurra of the Quran, and many of the Sahaba, practically almost everybody in Madina Munawara, all the Ansar Sahaba, accepted Islam at the hands of Musab ibn Umair, radiallahu anhu. Battle of Uhud, he is the standard bearer, he is the one carrying the banner of Islam on behalf of Rasulullah. Now the standard bearer in these wars, in these medieval wars and pre-medieval wars, his only job was to keep the standard flying. He was not a soldier, he would not be fighting. Because the standard is the soul of the army. When the soldiers are fighting, they are looking to see if my flag is still up. If the flag is still up, they continue to fight. If the flag has fallen, it takes away the morale of the soldiers. So the job of the standard bearer is extremely, extremely important, and it's also extremely dangerous. And he cannot fight, he cannot defend himself. So his own brother soldiers, you would have two or three of them who would be around him. Now in the case of Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, in all that it happened in Uhud, they surrounded him, the enemy, and he was holding the battle standard with his hand and they chopped off his right hand. He did not let the standard fall, he grabbed it with his left hand, he chopped off his left hand. Then he tried to hold the standard with the stumps of his arms and they speared him from the back. Today, if a little, you know, you get a little cut, I sometimes think about these things, you get a little cut. These were people, their arm cut off, their leg cut off, they didn't bother about it. For one miserable cut in our, you know. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us the resources, has given us the facility and medical treatment, so nothing wrong. But think about this. It's easy to say, they chopped off his hand, what does it mean he chopped off his hand? One cut you get, one paper cut, forget about anything else, it's not in a war. One paper cut you get in your finger, you think about it for 10 days. And that is how Musab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, he died. Jafar ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu anhu, Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, in the battle of Mu'tah. And Rasulullah predicted, he sent Zayd bin Haritha, he said, this is the Amir of this Jamaat. And he says, if he falls, Abdullah bin Rawaha will take over. And if Abdullah bin Rawaha falls, Jafar ibn Abi Talib will take over. And if he also falls, then you choose your own Amir. Now when Rasulullah says, if he falls, it means he will fall. And so it happened. They also knew that. They didn't say, no, excuse me, you say that, I'm not going. No. Alhamdulillah. In that same battle, Jafar ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the brother, elder brother Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, both his arms got cut off. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah gave him wings. That's why he's called Jafar al-Tayyar. One after the other. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Salatul Fajr, He is the Imam, he is reading Salah, reciting Quran. The man who is Lanatullah Ali, he has a dagger which he has soaked in poison. He came and slashed Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, cut his belly. And then he slashed 11 or 13 more people. He stabbed and slashed them before he was overpowered. In Medina, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu makes dua. He said, Ya Rab, give me shahada. So his daughter, our mother, Hafsa bint Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anha, the wife of Rasulullah, she says to him, yeah, my father, you are asking for dua for Allah to give you shahada and you are in Medina. The frontier is in Iraq. The frontier is in Qadisiyah, near Iran. Sayyidina Umar said, my job is to ask Allah. It is for Allah to give. And Allah gave him shahada in Medina. On the Musalla, in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif. When you go to Madina Munawwara, Masjid al-Nabawi, may Allah Ta'ala give us the opportunity to go again and again. And when you go into Riyadh al-Jannah, the member of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, not where the Imam is praying today, in Riyadh al-Jannah, the member of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is where. That is where Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was shaheed. That is where he was leading Salah, next to the member. Subhanallah. I mean, I can go on endlessly. There is not one. And through time, it's not. This did not. I gave you the names of Sahaba, but this did not end with the Sahaba. It continued through the ages. And it is continuing till today. The Muslims in Bosnia, my brother is here. Why were they killed? For what? Because they say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And all they had to do to escape being killed, to escape being their property destroyed, their lives wiped out, all they needed to do was to say, I leave Islam. Eh? True? You say, I leave Islam. Khalas, forget about this. I'm not interested. The original religion. Yeah, return to your original religion. Okay, well, fine, good. I return to my original religion. Finished. Alhamdulillah. But listen, no. I have spoken to some Bosnians, and one of them told me, Wallahi, they said, Sheikh, we knew nothing about Islam. Nothing. If you ask us what is the kalima, some of us, we did not even know to say the kalima. But we knew we are Muslim. We knew we're Muslim. And that we will not give up. So what does Allah do? Allah opens the door of Jannah for them. Maybe that person who did not even know the kalima, if he had died a normal death, we don't know what happens to him. Huh? But he dies shaheed fi sabilillah. Because he dies only because he's Muslim. And this continues. And today we are seeing that happening in Palestine. For the world, they have nothing. But you ask them, said, we have Allah. We have Allah. This is the Basira. This is the Basira. This is the eye which sees the reality. And the reality is the Qudrat of Allah. It is not all this stuff we see. Think about that. Today if we have, whether we have $10 or we have 10 million or 10 billion or 1,000 billion or trillion, we have to leave it. We have to leave it. There is nobody who takes anything. Imagine we spend all our lives trying to gather as much stuff as we can, which we have to leave. Makes no sense, no? We're gathering all this so that we can live. It doesn't make any sense. If I know I have to live something, why do I want it? To do what? This is what the Sahaba understood. The Sahaba, I keep saying all the time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made only one switch in the head. That's it. Nothing. The whole of Islam is one click, one switch. And that switch is from dunya to akhirah. Don't gather what you will leave, gather what will be yours. وَمَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَضُ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقٍ. Allah said, what is with you, you have to leave it. It will perish. What is with Allah will remain. So you look for what is with Allah. This is what the Sahaba did. That is why if you think about this, people like the names I gave you. Almost all the names I gave you were all Sahaba except for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. All of them were Sahaba who died before Fatha Makkah. All of them. All the Shuhada of Uhud. Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu, who died in Uhud. 70 of them. They did not see victory. They did not see Fatah. The 14 who died in Badr. They did not see Fatah. The people who lived, they saw the victory. The one who died didn't see the victory. Those who died in the Battle of Mu'tah, which I mentioned to you, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, they did not see victory. Why did they still go? Why did they still fight? Why did they still continue? Why didn't they say, what is the good of me alone saying and doing something? After all, nobody else is doing it. What is the guarantee this will succeed? Because they knew that it will succeed because my success and failure is with Allah. It's not here. I'm not talking about this battle, whether I will win it or I will lose it. I'm not talking about this deal, whether it goes through, it doesn't go through. My deal is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah accepts me, this whole world, whatever is happening here, makes no difference. That is the switch. This is the change in our heads, in our hearts, which we need to make. Which is to give tarjih and precedence to the akhirah over the dunya. And that is why I want to end with this. Something which my brother here sent me today. He said, remember that somebody died, somebody shed his blood so that you could be Muslim. Somebody shed his blood so that I could be Muslim. And subhanAllah, the names of these people who shed their blood, me and my whole family and my whole shijra for 1,000 years is not enough, is not equal to one day in the life of Sumayya bint Khayyat radiallahu anha or any of them. That entire life of 1,000 years is not worth one single day in the life of one of them. And they died for us. They died for us. They died so that we could be Muslim. And that is why this Islam is a very, very, very big responsibility. It's not a joke. It's not some fun and game thing I do if I feel like doing. Today is not convenient for me. I don't have energy. I'm feeling lazy. No. We remember those because of whom we call ourselves Muslim. And we try to live up to that standard and we say, can we be worthy of these people? But when we meet them on the day of judgment, will they agree to have us sit in their majlis? Or will they say, no, go away? Allah Alam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us worthy of these people who did what they did so that we could be Muslim. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and make it easy for us and not to test us and to save us and to protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all the people who are oppressed. We ask Allah to help especially our brothers and sisters in Palestine, in Sudan, in wherever they are who are being oppressed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the oppressors, to save them and to save the oppressed and to give them victory, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika wa rahmatullahi.